Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. You know, the first holiday's over. Now we're going for the second.
I know it. It's like all last weekend. It was all, you know, like still food coma and still sleeping and napping. And now we get up again. And then you almost want to go back to work. And then it's like, well, nope, I got to take some more time off. So we're done, pretty much.
Well, you know, now the lights are up. The lights are on the fence. The gazebo's done.
Yeah.
The llamas are done. You know, we had to have all this feed for the llamas. So I didn't have a tractor. So we had the landscape people roll the big rolls of hay into the pasture. Do you believe that? That's the way we had to do it.
Roll
old fashioned way.
Wow.
I just told them, I said, they only weigh 1,000 pounds. So I said, three of you get behind it and just roll it in.
Yeah, just push.
Just push, and they'll go in. And the llamas told them thank you for that.
Well, they are very considerate and very polite. So I'm glad
that's right. They're very
you.
Polite.
Yeah.
And I know they were running short on hay, and we had to figure out a way to get that hay in there. So, you know, I worked it out.
Yeah, apparently so. Just get back there and push. Wow.
You know, most things you can work out if you just – use your head a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It just takes a little engineering and a little, creativity.
Ingenuity.
And boom. Yeah, that's the word. Ingenuity.
A little ingenuity.
And
old fashioned, you know.
Well, yeah, it's what we all used to do in the 1800s. You know, just push. We didn't.
And I didn't even realize you went back that far.
Well, I do.
I mean, that is quite a ways back. You and the Indians. I can see it now.
I forgot to mention I'm about 150 years old. So
okay,
you know.
that works out that way. You know, speaking of that, you know, Traces of Texas. I look at that lots of times. They show, everybody sends in all these pictures, and a lot of these men had the longest beards, the fluffy white beards I've ever seen.
Isn't that fascinating?
So in the 1800s, they all had beards.
Yes. Yeah.
And someone said it was because razors hadn't been invented, but I doubt that's the reason.
Well, I don't know. I mean, some people didn't. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if, like, a beard back then was maybe for, it was, like, considered a luxury. And so maybe most people, I don't know, didn't have access to razors. Or maybe it was some kind of a status thing. Or maybe it was a non-status thing. I don't know.
I think that, you know, they didn't have a lot of things to use, like, you know, knives or razors or things like that. And I think during the winter, it protected their faces.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
And I think that's why they did it.
Yeah. And then once it's there, you kind of stuck
with it. And they didn't take a bath till spring.
I know people still like that.
That's right. But they had the horse troughs. They had the round, you know, wooden tubs. And I think that in the winter, it was just too cold to use all that.
Yeah.
And so they did not, I don't believe it. I know the mountain people in Utah, Nevada, way up there. I know they didn't. We've read too many stories about it. But here in Texas, I don't know if it was because they didn't have knives to shave with, or like you say, it protected their face.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good thought. And, you know, considering that they didn't take a bath until spring, could you imagine how bad, how do I say this nice, they stunk? I mean, it's not
yes,
like they didn't have deodorant or anything. You were just...
Well, and remember, they traded with the Indians. Then they fought with the Indians. You know, different periods, you know. We had the Comanches, we had the Apaches, we had all the different Indians that were trying to, you know, survive. And they were, you know, doing away with our settlers and our ranchers and everything. And then they finally, as you know, became peaceful with each other and traded. They traded a lot. Their skins that they found, they got those from Indians. And then they got them themselves. But then they made coats out of all this, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had their blankets were buffalo hides.
Mm-hmm. They didn't waste anything.
No, they used everything they had, the bones even. They used everything.
That was, it takes some ingenuity to, you know, make use of everything that you've got, even down to the bones. And so that's using your resources wisely.
And some of them had fireplaces and some didn't. The ones that had fireplaces cooked over the fireplaces.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it was a very different life back then. The modern conveniences we have now, we take them for granted. And so now
it's spoiled us completely.
we are
a spoiled group of people, let me tell you.
Shameful and spoiled. That's us.
And someone told me today, when an 8-year-old has a phone, it's time to throw it in the...
Oh, it's over.
I mean,
at that
8
point.
Years old does not need a phone.
No. Golly.
The psychologists were talking this week, and they said, your children need to have a small time with a phone, then it needs to be put up.
Yeah.
Put that thing up every day. Don't let them use the phone day and night.
Yeah.
It's very bad for them mentally.
It is. You know, all the social media things and the pressure and all the things that they can get exposed to. And I've also heard, and I don't know if it's true, but I've heard some reports that, you know, staring at the screen like that for, you know, too many hours, especially for children who are still developing, that's really bad for their, like, retinas or corneas or eyes or something.
Yes. Do you remember when children actually went out and played baseball?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were outside all day playing and running their bikes.
Yes.
Their go-karts, you know, everything they had. And nowadays, kids are addicted to phone or iPads, and it's very bad for them, really.
Yeah. I've seen people say all the time that the kids don't know how to, they don't have any social skills because all they know is just how to, you know, type on their phone. They can't have a regular conversation. But yeah, it's because, you know, when we were kids, we would go out and ride our bikes and we would use our imagination and we would, you know, pretend we were people or cowboys and Indians or whatever it was. And we had to use our imagination and think through. And now it's just normal for people to stare at a phone. And they don't even have to use their brain or go outside or talk to people. So
do you think we're going to have smart kids or do you think we're going to have dumbed down kids?
I don't know. I think we have smartphones and dumb kids.
Smartphones and dumb kids. Okay.
So there we go. we've solved childhood problems.
We solved that problem right away.
Check that off
the
list.
Okay, let's go on to something else then.
Wow.
Let's solve the world's problems.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we can solve that, we could... We can do anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it may take a few more than 6 minutes, but sure. Let's go
it
for it.
It takes confidence. You have to have confidence in your ability to solve the problems of the world.
Yes. As long as you say it and you have confidence, people believe anything you say. So here we go.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Just say something that sounds smart, and that's all you need to do. We're good
all
to go.
All right, I'm all for it.
Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
We should probably start a second show for all the things we talk about not on the air. We could
not
probably solve a whole lot of other problems by our other conversations besides
and these
this
people
one.
Are always wanting us to do social media.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
We are social media. I mean, you know, we might not have it on the air, but I guarantee it's that way.
Yeah, it is. We're social without the social media.
That's right. Well, let me tell you about a new policy we've got.
Oh.
We're bidding on it. We don't have it flanged up yet, but it's quite a policy. It's a small policy. It's $350,000, okay? And it's you know, a quick one. It's 20 months. She has triple net breast cancer,
Oh. Okay?
And, you know, we've had those before. And let me tell you what the profit is if we get it. It's 120%.
What? 120%?
120%, folks.
How?
And so the profit on $350,000 is $191,445.
Oh, my word.
Yes. And, you know, when it's a triple net breast cancer, you know, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
She got it in 22, and they've only given her 20 months. And let me tell you what the premium is. On $350,000. It's $842 a year.
Oh, my word.
Now, you divide that out, you know.
Yeah, some simple math comes out.
Simple math will show you what that is. It's not anything. On $350,000.
Wow.
So it's a really great policy if we can get it. So a person might want to reserve in case we do get it, and then you're going to be first in line. Because this won't last till the water gets hot.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, how did you get that much? 120%?
Well, that's the way we bid it.
Wow.
And we don't know. We might not get it. But if we do, somebody's going to make $194,000.
Yeah, they are. Oh, my goodness. Wow, that doesn't
happen. And, you know,
we've
just got all these policies that matured, and so people have money in the bank. The Turner policy went in this week. That was $1.3 million. And then Miss Rosenberg, I believe that's her name, died this week. And that's $1,400,000.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And it went 2 months over.
Oh, well, that's
it
that's
was a
nothing.
27 month, and it went to 29.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And it's got over 30% profit.
Ooh, that's insane.
Yeah, over 30%. So everybody's got a lot of money coming. There's a lot of people in that one.
Really?
But anyway, Miss Rosenberg has died. And, you know, it came in right almost on time. As I said, it was 27 months. It came in 29. But she lives in New Jersey, folks.
So there you go.
It'll take a little longer to get the death certificate. They aren't going to just deliver it. You know that.
No,
it'll be a fight to the finish in New Jersey, unless we can get the relatives to help us. Now, if the relatives are nice, they'll go get one of their copies and send it to us.
Well, now that would be that has happened before, and that helps speed things up.
It has. We have two or three people are really nice over the years, and they have notified of their relative's death and then sent us the death certificate, too. But, you know, you never know. And in New Jersey, I never count on hospitality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just don't know what their attitude is.
That ought to be the state motto or slogan, never count on hospitality.
That's right. Well, you know what Dick Van Dyke says, the reason he's almost 100 is he never loses his temper and he never gets mad.
Really?
And he said that's why he's lived almost 100.
Yeah.
Now, we should take that to heart.
We should. We really should. Or at least they should in New Jersey.
That's right. At least in New Jersey,
yeah.
If not anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because they do whip their necks a lot.
They do.
You know, they just whip right around, you know, when you ask them questions.
Oh, yeah. Not in the good way.
And I can think of all the times that, you know, during COVID and all that, we would call up there and talk to them, and it just didn't faze them, you know?
No. Uh-uh.
We'd say, you know, we really need to get this done. Well, we're not doing that today. I mean, just, you know, that's just the way it is in New Jersey.
I know that you've had a strong, funny opinion of New Jersey, but I guess I never really knew why. I guess that's it now.
It's because when you talk to them, they really don't care. They don't care whether they talk to you or not, or if they help you. And their thing is put it off till tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. And if you bug them too much about it today, you might get a good cussing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they'll put it off another month.
Yeah.
And we had some that did take a month or two.
Oh, are you serious?
I mean, yes. That's why I dislike the idea of a policy being out of New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, now, they also didn't they close down a lot of offices or work from home?
Oh, they did. New Jersey did.
Yeah.
There was some days that they didn't even bother to go in.
Oh, geez.
And so we would have to leave word because they wouldn't talk to us.
Yeah. And I'm sure they didn't call you back either when you left a message.
No, but when we got to Kentucky, we had several in Kentucky, and they were so nice, they'd say, give us your credit card number, we'll have it to you in 3 days.
Wow, really?
That's the way they operate there.
Now that,
it's that old Southern hospitality.
Yeah. You know, I got in an argument with somebody the other day, a fun argument, about they had said that, what was it? They were saying that Texas wasn't the South.
Oh, my gosh.
We got into this, and there was a difference.
We fought for the South.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as South as you can get.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You don't want to tell a Texan that we aren't Southern.
No. And so it didn't go over well. And I said, what are you talking about? How is that even possible? Look at the map.
That's right. Look at the map.
Yeah.
And look who all came here from other states, from Kentucky. Daniel Boone, all these people, Davy Crockett, came to help us with Alamo.
Yes. Yeah.
And, man, you don't want to tell us Texans that we're not Southerners.
No, no. We got into it over that one. But then I realized they were talking about the Southeast and not just South. And so, I gave them a little bit of credit for
that. We're
not
part of the Southeast. We're Southern.
Yes.
Just plain South.
Yes. Our own, it's our own, we have our own way. We're not part
That's
of the
right.
Southeast.
And the Southern way is the way we act and
yes.
the way we are.
Yes. Which is what makes it so much better here than every place else.
That's
so,
right.
All and right.
We're not on the Eastern Seaboard. No, we're not.
Oh, no. No. So we don't have to worry about the problems on the Eastern Seaboard. That's a whole other thing.
No.
Especially in the northern part of the Eastern Seaboard.
Or up north. And we call them up north.
Yes. Up north is pretty much anything above the Mason-Dixon line.
That's right, those northerners.
Yeah. Wow. And then they're moving down here. So they're one of...
We got to watch that.
Yeah, we do. We do. I know you've had people in the neighborhood who have moved from north. I see how
they act different. They'll run over you on the freeway. You know, they don't have that courtesy. They don't know about courtesy.
No.
They don't know the Texas way. No. I'm going to have to write a little pamphlet on that.
Yeah, you are.
So you want to get from point A to point B. This is what you need to be doing.
Yes. Yeah. Don't play games and don't try to, you know, we don't all have to go first.
No.
You'll get there.
Every other car, remember that. It's every other car.
Yes. That's how we merge.
You let them turn in front of you. Let them turn in front of you.
Yeah. Merging onto the highway is always one of those things that just, it's one of those things that most people, I don't know if they just don't understand or I don't know what happens, but that every other car, that's long forgotten, it seems like.
Well, not here.
No,
I mean,
not here.
I do it every day. Remember, I take little children to school every day. and they'll say, come in front of me, come in front of me. Then when it's my turn, I tell somebody else, here, go ahead, in front of me.
Yeah, yeah. Have you noticed the courtesy wave? That's kind of gone to the wayside sometimes, too. You know?
Well, we always do that.
Yeah, we
I mean,
do too.
If you've got manners, you've got manners.
Yeah.
If you haven't, somebody's going to run over you.
They are. Now that's the truth. That's no lie.
It is the truth. I mean,
yeah.
And that's why we have to watch these people from out of state. They don't know that we do all this, and they might accidentally just pull in front of us and run over us.
Yeah, I'm always afraid because some people from out of state are not used to it, and so I'll give the little wave for, you know, thanks for letting me out, and I'm afraid they're going to think I'm, like, throwing up gang symbols or something.
Well, I always wave and appreciate it. I know this week I was taking a different way to let the little one to school, and he said, Mimi, go ahead. I said, oh, no, you don't want to get me ran over. You know, it's not my turn.
Yeah.
You know, you have to wait your turn.
It's important to teach manners.
You don't try to get in front of people.
No, no. We be polite and courteous. That's how it goes. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And it's worked well for us.
It's worked well for 100 years.
Exactly.
What we have to do is teach these people how we do this, because otherwise, they're not real polite.
Yeah, no, they're not. I do want to ask you. You said something about if this the policy that you've got, or maybe have that you're working on. You said there's. Did you say there's a that somebody could like reserve? Is that a like?
Well, what I'm saying is they can say reserve me a spot.
Okay. All right.
And so we would put them first then. If we've already got their name down, they'll get first dibs at it.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, we do that every once in a while. Oh. I'll call somebody and say, look, I've got this policy. I think it's going to work. Do you want me to put you in it? And they'll say, yeah, put me in for, you know, $50,000, $100,000, whatever it is. And then if we get it, they're first in line.
Nice. I don't know. I guess I didn't realize that. That caught my attention. I don't know that we've talked about that before. And it may not be a common thing. It may be just every once in a while.
Maybe it's not a common thing, but I do it every once in a while. You know, sometimes I'll say, I'll bet this person would like that one.
Yeah. All right.
And then I go back and look and see who was in the last breast cancer that they liked it.
When will you know about this one if it's a done deal? Next week, you think? Or
next week.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
I'll probably know by Wednesday.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not long then. At least people are aware of it.
It's not long.
It'll be...
Yeah, we've turned in the bid, and it'll go one way or the other. It'll go over what we want to bid, and we drop out, or they'll say, we accept your bid. Let's go to closing.
Yeah. Having that, I don't even know if I should be even asking this, but having that much profit in it, does that mean that there's a little bit of wiggle room, or is that like after the hardcore final?
No, there
final?
Is wiggle room, and we might have to come down.
Okay. But, I mean, boy, if you
get it.
That's
how we bid it right now.
Yeah.
And it being this close in December, people might not notice it and might not bid it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So I'm wondering how many people will see it and say, oh, well, we're going to bid that thing, you know, and jump in. And then the other thing is we have to get the owner to accept the bid.
That's true.
And say, this is how much you're going to get, owner.
That's genius, though. I mean, that's...
It is.
Wow. See? Now that is where the experience comes in from doing this as long as you have. You know, I always like to tell people, you know, it's one, people with experience know the rules and then they know when to break them. And this is one of those times where I think it sounds like you're like, okay, this is the time of year. This is the type of policy it is. Here's what we think the market can handle, and still keeping a profit margin. This seems like one of those times where it's like, you kind of know when to break the rules based on experience. Am I looking at it kind of the right way? Or?
Well, you know, it's every once in a while we get an opportunity.
Yeah.
And we take these opportunities. You know, we've had some that we made 40%. We've had some that we made, you know, 15% on a short-term one. You just never know. We're finishing up one now, and I think it'll be finished and it might even be finished by now. I'm not sure. It's a short one, 7 months.
Oh.
And there's a little bit left in that, but not much. And a person might, if it didn't close, you know, they might could get in that one.
Hmm.
But it's short.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes we get those. You know, we did one that was 15 months, and we had this little one that's 7 months. And sometimes when it says seven, you know, it can come in early or might go long. But lots of times on 7 month one, they're really a lot sicker than we think.
Yeah, it seems like the margin is a lot tighter on that one.
It is, because you just never know.
Yeah. Okay.
But a lot of people have made a lot of money this year. Some are still waiting on policies. But the general amount have had several come due this year, so... You know, they've got quite a bit of money in their bank accounts for the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I know we were talking a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was a month or two ago, that there was that kind of a weird dry spell as far as finding policies. But then all of a sudden, it seems like a boom. It's just like a switch.
Now everybody's got them.
Yeah.
Yes, we went 2.5 months. Nobody had one policy, not even one.
Yeah. There was just nothing out there. And now...
There was nothing out there. Nobody was... wanting to sell policies. I don't know. I've never seen that happen.
Yeah.
But it did. So it really put us behind on, you know, having policies for people.
None
and now then we've had all these maturities, and Turner was the last that went in the bank this week. We've still got Gallo, and then we've got Mrs. Rosenberg, which is a large one also.
Hmm. Okay. So, yeah, it's like not only have policies matured, but the availability has come back around. And so it's kind of, I guess, and I know it's not really a seasonal thing. It's not really cyclical as far as, you know, availability or anything like that. Like you said, it's a little bit strange that that happened, but I mean, it's just really kind of depends on what's available. So it sounds like 2025 is going to end up being a pretty good year overall for people as far as making money and profits.
I hope so. Hoping and praying for a lot of maturities right here at the end of the year. I've got the light out for Denton, you know. I mean, we know it should have already happened. And we're reading the obituaries for Aiken, South Carolina, every day.
Yeah, yeah, I know that, and that was the guy that had the valve replacement.
Yeah, I mean, nobody else in the whole world would have got a valve replaced.
Now,
but he did, and I don't understand it because you know he's in bed, he's not moving, he's still talking, but you know, I mean, what kind of quality of life have you given a man that's 93 years old?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, and, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
The doctors had all said in 24 he was done for, you know. And somebody got the idea that at 93 they would just go in there and give him a new valve. I mean, it's just crazy.
When you got money, you can buy just about anything.
Worth $20 million, you can do a lot of things.
Yeah, you can. What about annuities? I can't remember the bonus, where we are on the bonuses. Are those?
The bonuses has come down now to 14%. It's no longer got the 16.
Okay.
16 went out on the 4th.
All right. So then, so now we still got 14% bonuses, which is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that is fantastic.
It's still a nice bonus.
Yeah,
it's just we had that extra 2% that we've had for months that really helps, you know, because it's that first year it gets you started, and then you get that much every year that you put money in for 3 years. So it's quite a good deal. I mean, I love the bonus for the last year that we've had it. Because it gives you that profit going in that you cannot replace. It's already there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that's just for nothing. It's not even it just, you know, pretend that the annuity didn't actually make anything. You still have the 14. But if it does, then you got 14% on top of it. And so, you know, it just seems like it's money on top of money for nothing. And you still, with an annuity, have that stopgap so that, you know, if say the stock market was to crash on Monday, if you're in an annuity, you're not going to crash with the stock market. You've got that.
That's right. You've got that protection.
Yeah.
And if it's an IRA, you know, you don't have to take anything until after 73. If it's a joint one, you can take 10% a year out, or you can say, look, I don't want to take anything for several years and let it build up interest. Then, you know, when we get 65, we'll start taking money out, or when we get 70. But it's an option. You've got so many options with annuities. And, you know, the company's been in business over 100 years. They pay good. They've averaged about 10% over the last 10 years. I went back and looked every year up for 10 years.
Wow.
Some years were a lot less, some were a lot more. But if you average it out, the average was 10.
And when I'm going to do some simple, generic, hypothetical math. So if they're up 10 years, or I'm sorry, if they're up 10%, and then you have a 16% or a 14% bonus on top of that, simple math is, I mean, that's a lot of profit.
We'll do it on 100,000. That's the way to figure it.
All right. Well, yeah, there you go. And so you put 10% on that, and then you got 110, and then you put another 14.
That's 25.
That's 20, yeah, 25. I mean, you can't. I know you made it simple for me, and it was still hard. Did you see that?
I know, but I made it noticed. Simple.
You did.
You know, simplify that thing. And remember, once the interest is there, it's locked in. It locks in every 12 months. So whatever the interest is that you made that year, it locks in. It carries it over to the next year. Then whatever you make the next year is added on. Then the next year. So each year stands alone and adds up and into your interest column.
Yeah.
And it can't ever go backwards on you. It's not like the stock market that can go around and round, and you've got this much, then this much today, and a lot less tomorrow.
Yeah. It just.
And all these big companies right now, a lot of them are folding. I mean, I've never seen so many big companies. Just, you know, we're closing this part.
I know it. You just, I keep seeing, you know, another restaurant is closing, or another big business is closing, and they filed Chapter 11 or Chapter 7, or they're closing all their U.S. locations, or it's just, it almost seems like it's every week there's something else that's coming along.
Well, and you know, one of the big companies had some kind of a bulk plant. I don't remember what they called it. And it cost $7 billion to build it.
Oh, my.
And they said, shut it down. You know, we don't want to do that. We're going to go a different direction. How can a company walk away from a $7 billion building?
I don't know. Just walk away from it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's not their money. It's the stockholders' money is what I keep thinking.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, you don't just walk away from $7 billion building just casually.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would think.
Yeah.
And Amazon, they say the reason Amazon has laid off so many thousand people, they're going automatic. They're going automation. So they'll have robots and they'll have all these automatic machines doing everything. And they don't need the people.
Oh, man.
So a lot of them are doing that.
Boy, that's a scary thing.
Isn't that scary? And somebody told me this week, right here in Texas, they saw a truck that had no driver going down the highway.
No, they didn't. Are you serious?
Yes, an automatic truck was driving down the freeway. I'd have fainted right away.
Oh, my word.
I would have got out of their way so fast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
And this friend of mine said he got his car off a real far away right quick.
Yeah.
When he saw that they had no driver. And it was an automatic. So how do you tell this truck to drive here, go there, make a left turn, make a right? How do they do it?
I don't know. And how does it react to something? Because so much of driving is reacting to other drivers
right.
or situations.
So let's say somebody pulls in front of it. What does it do?
I don't know. That's scary.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, the hard way.
I mean, when we read about it in the paper.
Wow.
They used to say, unless it's on the front page, you don't believe what it said.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow, that's the first time I've heard of that, and that scares the pants right out of me. I can't even believe. I mean, if I had looked up and there was no driver in a truck like that, I don't know what I would
think
do.
Dead away. I mean, I'd be so scared, I'd be out of there in a flash.
Yeah. Oh my word.
You wouldn't even be able to catch me.
No. I mean, I'm sure that they've done tests and all before, but they just release a truck out in the public like that. But my goodness.
Truck's just going down the road, nobody in it. Now, somebody's got to be controlling it from somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know where.
Is there like
my theory.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, I wonder if there's a guy in a building someplace with like a remote control or something.
Well, surely there's somebody monitoring it at all times. And I don't know if it was local or if it'd come across state. Can you imagine?
Oh my word, boy,
that
that's terrifying.
Just going down the road.
I did not know that that kind of technology was here right now. Ooh,
it is apparently.
I know at one point I saw or heard, or maybe I dreamt it. I don't know. But I thought they had like driverless pizza delivery things. In certain places.
Well, they have the drones now that can fly over and bring you anything you need from different companies. You know, they're practicing that now everywhere.
Really?
The drone comes to your backyard.
And it brings the food or whatever it is?
Whatever it's bringing, and I'm not sure what all it's capable of bringing. I know packages it can come, but I'm not sure about food. It probably can do food also.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd see this in my lifetime, but here we are. Oh, my word.
This will turn your hair gray, for sure.
Yeah, well, no wonder then there's so many companies that are closing. It's like they don't need people. I can't imagine how bad that's going to be. What are all those people going to do for jobs?
Well, and a lot of these big old companies look and say, oh, we've made this mistake. Now we've got to get out of it. We better start laying people off.
Yeah. That's the worst part. And then here's what I also wonder. What's going to happen when their profit margins or their overhead is so low because they have no people? If they need to have some, if they make a mistake or something, where are they going to get that from? They're not going to fire robots or AI or anything like that?
No, they'll tweak the robot. They'll just tweak it. If the robot throws everything in the aisle, they'll go, oh, we have a little problem with the robot. Let's get it fixed. And so they go to the back of it and fix it.
A little problem with the robot.
Yes. Elon Musk has got robots.
Yeah.
You know, he's the smartest man on the planet, the richest, and he has robots. There's no doubt about it.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah, I don't know that I'd be wanting to. That makes me nervous for not only just, you know, people in the workforce, but also the economy as well. Too much of this happens too fast, and boy, the bottom could fall out. So, yeah, I can imagine that people are probably starting to look and think, you know, it might be a little bit time. We've ridden this this wave long enough. We might be on borrowed time. It might be about time to look for something a little more conservative. And so if you're in an annuity, you don't have to worry if the stock market crashes, and you don't have to worry about market conditions or anything like that. Being the end of the year, in December already, so we're at the end of fourth quarter. Is there anything for annuities that people should do before the end of the year to wrap up? Or
a lot of people are going to be retiring, and now's the time to make the move on the money as you retire to roll it over to us. And a lot of people are rolling it over to get it in before the end of the year. So it depends if you're retiring this month or you're going to retire after the first. But a lot of people are retiring. This is their last month. So as they retire, they need to be ready to move this money over either to an annuity or a life settlement, you know, whichever way you prefer. If you're younger, a life settlement's fine. If you're older, you should be doing annuities.
Okay.
Whether that money can come to you every month or every year as you need it. If you don't need the money, you can do a life settlement. But if you're going to need this money, you need to be in annuities.
It's consistent. The payouts are regular, and you can pretty much put it on a calendar, and you know when it's going to come in. So, all right.
And you don't ever hear about the problems with annuities that you have with all these businesses.
No, you really don't.
You ever thought about that?
That's a good point.
They're just steady as you go. Steady as you go.
Yeah. There's no ups and downs. There's no, wondering, oh, gosh, is it profitable this month? Is it not next month? Is it going to, you know, something going to close? You don't have to worry about any of that. And so many other things are dependent on something else.
And remember, your money is the safety feature. You know, with an annuity, it's there. They have the assets. They can pay out the whole thing if they need to tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Reserves are on hand. They have to.
And, you know, they're worth $60 billion.
Jeez.
So I would never worry about their liquidity.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. So I think we say sometimes that, you know, if everything came due all at once, they could pay, you know.
They could pay out. They have the money.
Yeah, so.
And they've been in business over 100 now.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're doing something right because they've built and built all these years. And It's a Texas company. It's owned by Texans.
That's important.
They've done a good job managing their money.
Yeah, yeah. For it to last this long and do as well as it is, and not only has it just lasted, but it just seems like the annuities have gotten better and better over time. And so I mean, it's really a win-win situation for anybody. If somebody wanted to get in, you know, before, say, you know, 2026, would they have time still to get in an annuity? Or
yes, you've got plenty of time. They've streamlined this now. Now we don't have to send in the original. Now we can email it. They're letting us do all kinds. They're getting modern, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Fancy.
They're getting modern enough where now we can email it, and they'll have it instantly.
Nice.
And then the transfers are still very quick.
Cool.
And if a person is retiring, they have to tell them, you know, in advance, I'm going to be taking my money out, and they'll add up, like, your bonuses. They'll add up your sick pay that you didn't use and your vacation pay, plus what they owe you after all these years. So that'll be ready.
Yeah.
And then we just make the transfer out.
It's just almost like literally, you know, push the button and hit, like, execute. And so whatever that plan is it just going to, it starts, and then boom, 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 it just falls into place because it's already mapped out.
And you don't have the risk anymore of stock market. You're out.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure as people get closer to retirement, that's an important point. You don't want to have to, you know, be in the stock market and then, you know, be all ready to retire in a few weeks or months or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden the crash happens, and then you've got to go back to work because you lost everything. So,
and if you're in life settlements, it makes more, but it takes time. In other words, your policies may be 2-year policies, 3 years. You need to have more than one. You can't do it with just one. You've got to be, have several to make it work.
Yeah. You've always said that diversity is the key. So
you've got to be diversified. If something goes wrong and it doesn't come due when we think it will, you've got to have others.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep that income coming in.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to tell you about an author, a novelist from Texas. Her name is Sandra Brown. She was born in Waco, Texas, raised in Fort Worth. She went to TCU in Fort Worth, but she didn't graduate. She left to get married. But then she got married. She went to work for KLTV in Tyler as a weathercaster. Then she came back to Dallas-Fort Worth. She became a reporter for WFAA, and they're the biggest in Texas.
Wow.
And she started her writing career in 1981. Her husband dared her. He said, "Oh, yeah, you think you can write and everything." He said, "I dare you to submit something." She has published almost 70 novels.
Wow. Off of one
more
dare.
More than 50 are New York Times bestsellers.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine? Her novel, French Silk, was made into a movie in 1994. Susan Lucci played the part in it. Sherry Belafonte was in Lee Horsley, if you remember him.
Wow, that's a cast and
a half.
Then
her novel, White Hot, turned into a Hallmark movie and a mystery.
Really?
And the funny thing is, she wrote all these novels. She didn't even use her name on a lot of them.
What?
She submitted them under different names, which I think is hilarious. She did 5 or 6 under Rachel Ryan, and these were romance novels. She did 2 under Laura Jordan. And then Erin St. Clair, she published a lot of them. And these were all romances. Then she did a Ashtray and Devil series. She did a couple that way. But she did some fabulous novels. And then, as Sandra Brown, as her own self, she did about 10.
Wow.
And then she did Breakfast in Bed, Send No Flowers, Sunset Embrace, Another Dawn. Then she did the Marion Sister series, and then the Texas Tyler Family series. I mean, she did all these series, everything else. It's just amazing to me. Almost 70 books, and 50 of them were New York Times bestsellers. And in 23, she divorced her husband. They were married 55 years.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
I can't imagine why. If you can make it 55 years with a guy,
yeah,
why can't you make it the rest of the way?
Oh, my word. That's sad, especially after that long.
Yeah. I mean, here she went to TCU, didn't even finish because she married him, you know, as a young girl. And then when he challenged her, you know, she started writing for real. He didn't even think she could do it. He didn't have any faith in it when she started. He said, oh, yeah, go ahead. I dare you. And her books were published immediately. She's that good.
Wow. So she found a hidden talent off of a dare.
Off of a dare. She had this talent, and he didn't believe it. And he thought this will stop her in her tracks.
No, boy.
But she's won a national book awards, all kinds of things, because she is so good. And it's just amazing. Romance Writers of America, a Lifetime Achievement Award, International Thriller Award, the A.C. Green Award. So out of these 50 books, as I said, are on the New York Times bestseller list, and she wrote almost 70 and put them under different names. That part I don't understand. Why she would create these names for her book.
I know it. That just seems so. It's like, why not, you know, take full-blown credit, you know, out in the open?
But she didn't.
I don't know.
And one of them she called Candlelight Estuary Romances. One, single novels, Hidden Fires, A Silken Web. Then she did these Harlequin romances. You remember those?
Yes. Now that you mention it, yeah. I do.
She did a lot of those. The Harlequin series, and I'm just shocked how brilliant this lady is, you know. And she's been writing since 1981, and she has two children, and I wonder what she's worth.
I can't even imagine. I mean, 70 books and 50 on the New York Times bestseller list, it's not something small, I can assure you. I can assure you
I
that.
I guarantee she's worth a lot.
Yeah.
And just started writing and just kept going, writing more and more and more and getting all these awards. And if you sold this many books, you know, can you imagine if you sold 500 of each one, it would have been a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
But I imagine she sold thousands of copies of these books.
I'm sure. I almost wonder if maybe she picked like a name to write under, depending on like the genre of book she was writing. Maybe she wanted different names associated with different styles, like romance or mystery or, you know, whatever it is. I don't know.
And some years she published more than one book.
Oh, yeah. She had to.
Yeah, she wasn't just doing one book a year. There was some years here that she did two or three books in one year.
Oh, yeah. You do the math to write 70 books. Almost have to do at least two or three a year. I mean, that's just cranking out material left and right.
People were buying them left and right because, you know, those Harlequin romances and all those others are very popular.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
People love them, and they buy them by the tons. So I cannot imagine. And she wrote three books on Texas at one time. Texas Lucky, Texas Chase, Texas Sage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Heaven's Price, Breakfast in Bed, and Send No Flowers.
And she had what, a couple of movies? One of them was a Hallmark? Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Wow.
Her movies were made by Hallmark, bought those and made them and Harry Belafonte's, a whole bunch of, you know, people that are very familiar was played in them.
Jeez. I mean, it's one thing to sell all the books, but then, you know, the and I don't know what the number would be, but I would imagine it's a pretty good chunk of change that you make when, you know, somebody takes a book and turns it into a movie. I would imagine that's just...
And then in 2007, she did a real murder story, Murder by the Book, about the murder of Betty Gore in Wiley, Texas. If you remember that deal,
yeah.
Really a scandal right here next to us in Dallas. That's where the, let's see, the girlfriend married the, murdered the wife, or the wife murdered the girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it was a big sensation. So she wrote a book about it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm and then the awards on top of it, you know, it just seems like this snowball that just kind of like started forming out of nowhere. I mean, I don't know what she'd be doing now if it wasn't for a silly little dare, you know, that was intended to shut her up. And instead, it started a whole career that was very lucrative and almost put him in his place. It's like, I'll show you.
I think it did put him in his place. Maybe that's why they finally got a divorce. Maybe she'd been telling him about it all those years.
Or maybe that's why she used different names.
Yeah, and you know, White Hot, that was a Hallmark one. And all these others, one of them was released in 1994, and Susan Lucci played the part in that one. But I'm just shocked that you can... I mean, here she was, a weather girl.
Yeah.
Remember, she came back to Texas. And then she became a reporter for WFAA.
Yeah.
And then she was on PM Magazine.
Oh.
And I remember the old PM Magazine myself.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah. And they would have guests on and do all this and have people from Texas on there. So she did all that and was a weather girl. And underneath, she was a novelist and a writer just waiting to start.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she'd had a great career doing what she was doing. I mean, she probably would have advanced onto something beyond, you know, beyond that. But, boy, you just can't. It's so strange to me and fascinating when somebody's career takes a sharp left turn and it ends up being this huge thing that comes up out of nowhere, not something that was ever planned for, not something that she was, you know, prepping for, didn't try to learn it, didn't try to, you know, hey, let's see if we can make this work or so. It just, boom, you start doing it and it just takes off like that. That's
how do you know that's all in you, that you've got 70 novels hid in yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine that you can just sit down and say, man, I'll write this novel, then write another one. And just kept going from 1981, I believe it was, or 84, till today.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just to come up with the ideas. I couldn't even come up with 70 ideas for books, let alone...
How would you come up with a whole book?
I don't even know.
I mean, and right here, came from Waco, Texas, went to school at TCU, you know, a small girl, a small town girl. Our small colleges, and didn't even finish college.
Yeah.
Didn't need to. She got married.
It's so sad, though, that after 55 years, they got divorced.
I think it's really sad. Why in the heck would you divorce him if you went that far?
I know
if you rode together that far, he was with you all the time, you were riding, doing good, making a heck of a living. And then suddenly y'all just can't stand each other.
It's so sad. It's terrible.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Either way, though, I think it's cool that he dared her, even if it wasn't, you know, to, you know, in an encouraging kind of way. If it was, you know, okay, I dare you to do it just so you'll stop talking about this.
I think that's basically it. He didn't know her well enough to know that she could write the first word.
I know it.
He said, I dare you to try it. And the first book sold. There wasn't any rejection, sounds like, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
It her sounds... book sold immediately. And I don't know who represented her with the publishers, but whoever it was did a good job because she just kept going.
Yeah.
Once she started.
Yeah, it was like a wildfire that just got out of control, and now it's just, you know, she's got an entire empire. I mean,
she managed to have two children along the way while she's writing books.
It's just
that's kind of a busy deal.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know how anybody does all that. It's just, I don't know. I love stories like that. It's really inspiring that, you know, people can just find
that
hidden talents.
Encourage other people to get out here if they've got any talent and do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Find whatever your talent is and then, you know, turn it into a thing. That's pretty cool.
That's right. Turn it into something great.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Okay. I know we always talk about risks and qualifications for a life settlement. What's the first risk people need to know about?
The first risk would be if it goes over, you would have to pay premium. So you need to always know what the premium is, how low it can go, how high it can go. If it's steady, you need to know the full scope. And we always tell you that going in, where you'll know the full story. The other thing is it's not liquid till it matures. You can't go halfway through it and say, oh, I'll take some money out of that. You've got to wait till they pass away. And you must be accredited. It's the law. You must be accredited. So that means you may have to make $200,000 or you have to be worth $1 million, and that's without your home. You can never include your home in your assets.
Okay. And just to kind of recap the policy situation, the one that you're working on might or could be closed next week, correct?
If we get it, it'll close next week.
Okay.
If somebody wants to reserve it, they can. Then if we get it, we will call them immediately.
Cool. And it doesn't take long at all to get set up, or I don't know how to phrase it, but get going.
That's so right. To open an account,
yeah,
it's pretty quick. If you write a personal check, it'll go in overnight. You'll have an account set up in 2 days.
Okay. So anybody who's not currently an investor, thinking about, you know, it's the end of the year, you start reflecting, you start thinking, okay, what do we want to do? Where's our direction? Where are we now? Where are we going? What's our plan for the next couple of years, couple of months, whatever it is? If people are thinking, okay, it's time to start thinking about investing a little bit more conservatively, it takes no time at all to get an account set up and get going for either one, whether it's a life settlement or annuities, right?
Yes, doesn't matter which one.
So it's business as usual this coming week. So if anybody is interested, wants more information or whatever, they do need to give you a call. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.